It's time for Cutting Edge Consciousness with Freeman Michaels and Barnett Bain. Thought-provoking discussions and bold ideas from the edge of possibility.
And welcome to Cutting Edge Consciousness. Freeman Michaels here with my co-host, Mr. Barnett Bain.
Good morning to you, Freeman.
I like calling you Mr. That's kind of fun for me.
Reminds me, I look around for my dad.
I know. Come on, you've earned it. You're seasoned.
I am seasoned. I went to the movies a few weeks ago.
You went to the movies?
I did. Every once in a while.
Given the fact that you're a filmmaker, it's good you go to the movies.
I went. I got a senior rate, and that was shocking.
That's great.
The last time I had that shock was when I was old enough to get my driver's license.
Right.
That was a shock, too. Yeah. So it's kind of fun.
Listen, I wanted to talk a little bit before we bring on our guest about the practices. You and I are big fans of intentionally directing our energy by means of some conscious expression, something that we do, and we ritualize it. We do it over and over and over again. We call it a practice. And it's a way of, I'm going to use the expression, retraining our brain, but it's actually deeper than that. And, you know, it's been such a tremendous gift to me in my life. Specifically, one of the ritualized practices, Barnett, that you got me doing, I don't know, was that about a month ago when I started doing this? I mean, I can't even tell you. We'll have to have a separate show just about that practice. But just the idea of really consciously ritualizing something and expressing it, and I want to say physically expressing it, because that's going to be a lot of what we talk about today, is how do we find physical expression for aspects that we want to promote more of and or generate and or grow into in our lives. And we, of course, have a wonderful guest coming on to talk about that. But I wanted to relay it first personally, what impact it's had on me to have this conscious way physically to express something in the world that I begin to practice over and over again to where it becomes almost habitualized. But there's a very strong intent behind the choice to do it.
Beautifully said. I guess we want it to become habitualized. We want our energy follows our attention, and these practices are with focused intention. They are wiring and firing new neural nets, and at the physical level and the metaphysical level, that's a whole other discussion.
Well, maybe not. I think it's. I think we might dip into that.
I think we may splash around there.
That's right.
Well, having set it up this so beautifully, that was a very smooth segue. You must have been thinking that one didn't just emerge out of whole cloth in the hot seat. That feels like
years of professional training.
Years of, don't try that at home.
That's right. Unless you're licensed, bonded, and insured.
Exactly. That's good stuff. So we should head right into our discussion, having laid the rails for it so beautifully. We have with us today a very, very good friend of this show, Annette Baniel, who's a clinical psychologist, a dancer. I can attest to that from firsthand experience. And a leader in the field, I can attest to that too, of movement and brain relationship. She has developed a revolutionary movement-based clinical approach that is supported by recent brain plasticity research. She's involved in a pilot study with Dr. Michael Mazenek. She's the author of best-selling Move Into Life and the highly anticipated Kids Beyond Limits, galleys of which are sitting right here in front of me, camera waving to camera. She is also the founder and director of the Annette Baniel Method Center in San Rafael. And we are very, very pleased to have her with us today on Cutting Edge Consciousness. How are you, Annette? How are you, Barnett?
Whatever your name.
How are you, Barnett?
He talks to himself all the time.
Well, you know what?
You're just included in this conversation.
That is a wonderful indication of the purpose of practice. And what happens when we practice? My brain, my neural nets are wired when faced with an opportunity to go Baniel or Barnett. They go the road most traveled. And that's deeply deeply aligned to your work, is it not?
It's aligned with my work, and it's aligned with how our brains function.
Yeah.
Or my work is aligned with how the brain functions.
Well, tell us how it all began.
For me?
Yeah.
Well, it all began when I was actually 11 years old, and my dance teacher, her name was Archipova. She was it was in Israel, and she used to be a prima ballerina in the Bolshoi Ballet in Russia, and then she immigrated to Israel, and I was her little student, and she studied with Dr. Moshe Feldenkrais, who was actually a physicist and a black belt in judo and many other things, but is known, for those who know about him, who developed he's the pioneer of the mind-body.
He had an injury, for our listeners.
Yeah, he had an injury from...
Flash forward to his injury, and then he healed himself of this injury in lieu of surgery.
By understanding that we all, as humans, have to learn to move, so it's not like pre-programmed in our brains. And so there's a process. I'm sort of mixing between my stuff and his stuff now, but there's a process from going from not knowing to yes knowing.
Yes.
And between the not, the no, and the yes, the mitigator is the brain. So this was like an ingenious realization on his part, especially if we understand that he did that, I don't know, almost 80 years ago, and looked for ways to how do you communicate with the brain to get it to do something different, because they wanted to do a surgery on him, and the chances for success were 50%, and success meant that he would have a rigid knee, so he could not do any of his sports or walk normally or anything. So he decided that's not success and looked for another way. And what happened, he started exploring how to communicate with the brain. First of all, he studied all the anatomy, physiology, and realized nowhere anybody talks about function.
Well, tell us what he did. How he implemented his findings.
What, on himself or others? Or
on himself.
Well, on himself, what he realized after he tried to find answers from everybody else and there was nothing, okay? And studied all the courses in medical school, all that stuff. He realized that the brain is mostly busy with organizing movement. So he started experimenting with different movements as a way of trying to discover how he moves. So he didn't know he was developing a method, right? And when he started doing that, he started realizing how almost everything he thought or believed was wrong. Mm-hmm. And started coming up with understanding of what makes us tick, what makes us work, what makes us succeed, what makes us fail, that really is outside of what people used to believe then and most of what people even believe today. And he managed to retrain himself to move in a way that allowed him to have the injury but do everything anyway, because he simply moved differently where he didn't
Can you give us an example of that? Give us an example.
Sorry?
I've seen your work, so give us an example. Paint a picture of
I'll paint the picture. So, I mean, we do it all the time, actually, without knowing. So let's say if somebody is hurt their knee, right, and had knee surgery, or a friend of mine that you know of that has a hip problems and she's supposed to have a hip replacement. Let's take the hip example. So the way she stands, the way she walks, the way every time she goes, oh, I want to go pick up the newspaper, right? So her brain gets her to step on one foot and then on another foot and step forward, right? We do it automatically. But we didn't do it automatically to begin with. We learned. So she has certain habits. And the forces go through the hip joint in a way that has, first of all, got it to deteriorate. And now, you know, press in ways that, inflame irritate and inflame the soft tissue. I gave her one lesson, and already after just one session, I didn't even touch the hip because I knew that in order for the hip to get relief, she has to actually step on her feet differently. Her head has to go somewhere in relation to the spine, in relation to the pelvis, in relation to the ankles, etc., in a completely different way, so that the forces won't hit where they've been hitting.
Mm-hmm.
And because she's this person I'm thinking of, very intelligent, very connected to life, her brain is very responsive. Within one lesson, she had, let's say, 50 or 60% improvement, and within two more lessons, she was pain-free.
So to run it back to you to see if I understand, you are facilitating people to move their, in this case, to move her limbs in a different manner, and thereby you are activating different neural pathways and instructing the body to self-heal.
Yes, and the last part is the 100%, the providing an opportunity for self-healing. It's very important, I'm so glad you said it. Let me just say a few things. First of all, no matter what we do, it's our whole body that has to be accounted for.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always a whole brain event. Always. So people can focus on the foot or on the leg, but if you want to change, somehow your whole self has to readjust. Because if you think of a balance system, let's say a little mechanical system, and if you move one part a little bit more to the right,
mm-hmm.
everything else has to readjust or it'll topple over.
Mm-hmm.
So the brain integrates itself completely under every tenth of a second, because it always has to account for every part of you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Can't kind of leave something behind. When that happens, that's a very serious disorder, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what I did with her, so that also means that when we want to change, and I think for our conversation might be an important part, because you guys mentioned physical versus metaphysical or spiritual. And for me, these worlds are not separate worlds.
They aren't for us either, just so you know.
That's why we love you.
Yeah, that's we don't actually separate them out at all. The idea of consciously recognizing where they come together is really what's exciting. One of the things I want to note, yesterday I posted the beautiful clip, and I forgive me for not remembering who, something HealthQuest, I think, is who did it. You can correct me on this one.
21-year-old?
It's basically about Elizabeth's story. The woman you were calling Elizabeth, I don't know if that's her real name.
Oh, yeah, it is actually the real name. And
her real name is Elizabeth. Okay, very good.
Yeah, and there's a whole 8-minute DVD video YouTube on her.
Why don't you bring our audience up to speed on what that's about, Freeman?
All right, so we posted this yesterday. Well, I want to say why I liked it.
Why don't you say what it is?
I will. I'll cover that. Basically, this is the story of a girl who you started working with as an infant, who the doctors had a very dire prognosis that she was not going to be able to, the little quote is, dance at her wedding. That was not a possibility.
That she was born with a third of her brain.
Right.
Missing.
A third of her cerebellum. That's a portion
of her brain.
A third
of her cerebellum.
Right. A third of her cerebellum was missing. And in fact, you worked with her from age, I want to say 13 months, up until the video is 21 years old, at the point
yes.
that I saw the video, and she was very much walking, and I understand today she very much did dance at her own wedding and is running a company and many other things as well, and is doing incredibly well, has a very rich and fulfilling life. What I loved, because I watched that and I also watched in preparation for this show, the TED Talk. And what I love about both of them is that And I'm going to misquote you, it's fine. I just want to say it in the terms that I understood it, was that you knew enough and you didn't know enough simultaneously. In other words, you knew enough to believe that something was possible. You had enough knowledge to know that there was something that could be done. But you also, in you kind of confessed to this in the TED Talk, there was a whole bunch of stuff you weren't aware of at that time, which allowed you to step in fully to doing this. And that, in fact, created this incredible possibility that many people wouldn't have allowed for, if that language helps. And you stepped into that fully. And that struck me. Because, look, my understanding is that Mr. Feldenkrais was an explorer. He was curious enough to question, and he had enough imagination to drum up possibilities and then find ways to facilitate those, you know, vis-a-vis this movement technique. That piece to me was very interesting, the piece of knowing a certain amount and being open in a particular way to discovering new things.
Well, I just love how you just said it, and I so love how you say I knew enough but not enough. Mm-hmm. I actually thought about it in another context this morning. It is because, I mean, I did know very deeply about possibility. First of all, I experienced it through myself. I don't have to go through the whole story, but started when I was 11, and I was kind of like, it changed my world. And then over and over again, and when you experience something, or when I experienced it so young, it sort of became how the world is, right? Things just can happen, and you make them happen, and you discover if you just keep going. But I also was totally ignorant about, you know, physical therapy and children with special needs and all that stuff. I absolutely knew nothing. So I saw a child, and I saw what she couldn't do, and I saw how she was, but I also saw, you see, one of the things that I do, and I know it might sound a little weird, but when I look at somebody doing something poorly, let's say a violin player that's doing something really cockamamie with her shoulder or anything, it doesn't matter. For me, it represents intelligence. It takes a lot of intelligence to do something poorly. Uh-huh. I know it sounds weird, but the brain, to be able to walk badly, is a lot harder than to walk well. So when I look at somebody doing, no matter what they're doing, I look at what they do, I see the intelligence it represents, or the potential for intelligence, and then I go after that intelligence in the ways that I do it. And that's exactly what happened with Elizabeth. Within her great limitation, the way she was a very intelligent child, including being very unhappy. Let me tell you, if you were in her situation, being happy is weird.
Well, we want to, there's a lot more that we want to cover with you. There's so much more. We have to pay a few bills here.
Okay.
And when we come back, I want to...
I want to talk about this reading intelligence piece, because this is brilliant.
We want to touch the reading intelligence, and we also want to leave ample time to get into your take on what Friedman and I call the new senses. And then you have much
the
to...
The new what?
We call it the new senses, and you refer to it in many ways in your work, various modalities of touching, various modalities of being attentive. This is very much aligned to the things that we are very interested in on this show. So we will come back and talk about all of those things after you hear from these fine folks.
Welcome back to Cutting Edge Consciousness, thought-provoking discussions and bold ideas from the edge of possibility.
We're back on Cutting Edge Consciousness. This is Barnett Bain with my co-host,
Freeman Michaels.
And our guest, Anat Baniel. Now, before we took out the break, there was a lot of momentum to have to derail before the break. So now we're winding it up again.
I want to jump right back in because and I want to come back to this reading intelligence, which I thought was really brilliant, that you're seeing intelligence slightly differently and you're reading things differently. But I also want to talk, because Barnett had brought up the idea of these other senses, moving into other relationships. You know, my mom is a child development specialist, actually up in Northern California, and they talk a lot about in the inner ear the movement sense, that movement is actually it's a sense, and that it's and working with kids who are learning different, they work a lot with movement. This was occupational therapy and sensory integration and things of this nature. So I'm aware of it very much. In fact, so aware of it, and so aware in my own experience of kinds of deficiencies, ways that I have fallen into habits.
Adapted
into habits, thank you, Barnett, that may or may not serve me. One of which, and this was our New Year's show that Barnett's wife and my wife came on, we were talking about touch and hugging, and I've really noted that there's a way in my life where I pulled away from that. Like, I'm not a big physical toucher. The truth is I'm a really big physical toucher. I've just restricted it. So I decided, and we talked in the intro about practices, to develop a hugging practice. That's my kind of commitment for 2012, is to hug more, right? As a practice, practicing it and allowing for it, because I realize it's a need.
What's it doing in your body?
It's amazing. It's a cellularly, I start to, it's a vibration, and it especially when it's really generous and really open, that's what happens. It opens me up. That's the experience I have, and I know that this is a big part of your work. So I'd love for you to speak to that.
I love it. I mean, what you do is, you did it last time, you lay such a potent and relevant ground that, you know, I need to keep you on the show now for the next 4 hours.
Sorry about that.
You'll come back.
Yeah.
I'd love to. I just love both of you. It's so much fun. Anyway, let me just take a few things that I think you could take and use and your listeners. So let me back off in terms of intelligence. So let me just say some things as facts, and then we can discuss it this time or another time. We're short of time. So if we look at the body, so to speak, bones, muscles, organs, and so on, we can look at it as a mechanical system. It's more complex than that, but if you agree with me, let's just think of the body itself that we feel and see move as a mechanical system. When we look at the brain, we're looking at information system. So there is chemical and electrical, biochemical and electrical activity in the brain, but it's not a mechanical system. It's not a system like a Newtonian leverages system, okay? So it works based on information. It feeds and it grows through and generates information. So I ask myself the question, what's the darn information? I mean, what provides the brain the information? From actually, I didn't ask the question. I got to the answer, and then I backed it off into a question because of my observation with my work with people and with the children. And I realized that the job of the brain, in order for us to have intelligence, so I'm heading towards intelligence, is to perceive differences. If we don't perceive a difference, it doesn't exist for us. So if I'm colorblind, I don't see difference between blue and green. You see it. The vibrations are there, but it doesn't exist for me. So I want to talk about your hugging. First of all, I think it's wonderful to do hugging, but if you want to become a really great hugger and get more from hugging really quickly.
I'm ready.
Hug in different ways.
So
you feel differences in the subject of hugging. So you don't just hug and hug, and there will be some differences spontaneously, but intentionally perform it in different ways, different positions, different intensities, different times of day, with different people, for different purposes. Can be a hugging leading just to cuddling with a child, can be a hugging that's leading to sex, you know, sex, can be a hugging that's leading to you being reassured because you had a bad dream. You know, so you start varying how you hug. You hug with one arm, you hug with two arms, you hug with your legs. You hug with one leg and one arm. You hug before you know anything. Not only your hugging will become so much richer and you'll become like a good expert hugger. Everybody would want your hugs. But other things will change. So if you have a tightness in your back, in your lower back, you'll see that starts releasing. Your breathing will get freer. And your thinking, you'll even become more creative. Because that's how the brain works. Perception of differences is the basis from which the brain can self-organize and can generate intelligence.
Okay, I got to say this back because this is my assignment and I'm really ready. I'm languaging this a little bit, but I'm hugging as a conscious expression and or exploration. Is that accurate?
Yeah, but I'd make it even simpler.
Okay.
You literally hug in different ways.
Hug in different ways. All right, I'm good. I thought that, that's perfect.
That is fantastic. Now let's lay on the other piece.
Can I say one more thing? Because he said movement. Movement, nothing will happen unless you move. Nothing. And even Einstein said, nothing happens until something moves. You can't do your hugging practice. We can't have this phone conversation, you know, radio interview. We can't have anything without movement. Movement is the language of the brain. Movement is the language. Movement is life. It's not even the language, but it's life. And we use movement to generate differences. Thinking in my world is movement. Feeling in my world is movement. It's just different forms of movement, but it's all movement. And We want to generate differences in movement. So what your mother told you is incredibly accurate. And when we... I'd say one more thing, and then I'll let you, Bernie, take off from this. To get the brain to really start popping, lights coming up, new connections forming, we bring attention to what we feel as we move. In this case, for you, the content is hugging, but we bring attention to what we feel, what I feel as I move, not attention to you, the teacher, but attention to me, the mover feeler. The brain is in happy land. There is research that shows it creates 1.8 million new connections per second, about 100 million a minute, a billion every 10 minutes. That is a quantum system. And now you take it from here.
Well, this is very much continues on this same line. You talk about different ways of touching and we talk about new kinds of senses, entirely new kinds of uncommon senses, and they seem to converge in some places in your work. For example, one of the ways that you refer to is to see with your hands, to touch with seeing hands.
Yes.
And that kind of paradox is very, very interesting to me. You want to say a little bit about more? And you talk about the feeling of doing so with feeling into the experience of seeing with hands.
I want to comment, too, before you answer that, too. We talk about bringing online new capacities. They aren't necessarily new capacities, but they may be capacities that we've that have been marginalized or undermined in our conditioning and the way we were raised and so forth. And that's a lot of your work, too. And that seems, in my mind, to fit into this as well.
Absolutely. And let me just say, I think actually it's the potentials are there, but the actual capacities or capabilities are new.
Mm.
So it's very important to distinguish. So I am very much the opposite of the onion model. Like it's all there, you just have to peel and find it.
It's new. This is all evolutionary new capacity.
It's into the what's not there yet. It's the brain is like this magical thing, so to speak, that creates something out of nothing. It uses energy, it uses the, you know, food and so on energy, but it creates something out of nothing in the sense of function, in the sense of capacity. And I really know it because I work with it on a daily basis. I worked on a child yesterday that had brain damage and the arm is paralyzed, and after one lesson she started opening her hand and leaning on it.
Well, this is such a big piece, and it ties in also to what how you speak about leadership,
yes.
The role of leaders, and in some
Absolutely.
Of your work you discuss that vis-a-vis the roles of parents as leaders, vis-a-vis their modeling these new talents and new capacities for their children.
Absolutely, and the modeling of course, there's some degree of modeling, and you know, kids see adults walking and end up walking, and if they don't end up actually walking. But the learning to walk is done internally by the child. The leadership of the parents is the conditions and environment that they create for the child, which I don't think we'll have time to talk about, which are my essentials. But my first essential is movement with attention. So if you want your child or yourself or your spouse or your relationship to thrive, you want to start bringing close attention to what you feel as you move. And that can include as we converse back and forth and start perceiving the other essentials help with that, like reducing the effort and slowing down and things like that, where we train our brain, and that I think will appeal to both of you. The brain itself can be trained to work on a higher level or a lower level. So I'm not talking about the content. I'm talking about the process now. We can have a better, stronger, more ingenious brain or lesser so.
Tuned in, we've said on the show, to more subtle frequencies.
Say that again?
On this show, we've used the expression tuned in to more subtle frequencies.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. It actually does equate with that. And there are ways to intentionally and quickly upgrade the functioning of the brain. Then whatever specific content you put into it, it will work with that better. So if you want to be a better hugger or get over some inhibition around hugging or expressing emotion that way, it will just accelerate the process and move you places you couldn't have, didn't even know to ask to go to, you know, wonderful places. So this is something that, again, I learned working with lots of musicians, you know, world-class musicians that couldn't play because of pain or children like Elizabeth. And I realized that what I really need to do is to find a way to get their brain to become this magnificent, glowing, high-level functioning, ready to perceive differences, generate new information, and invent new solutions. And how do I get that brain to be better and better? Then I don't have to worry so much about the solutions. They happen mostly spontaneously.
So what you're saying is that the brain is malleable to is able to be intentionally upgraded, and by that you mean elevated functioning, and out of the elevated functioning, what is precipitated is an elevated experience of form that comes at us in the shape of the lives we live.
Absolutely, the form of the way you move your hand, if you sing, the way the sound comes, what you hear, hugely impacts creativity.
The quality of your life, your ability to sustain relationships.
The quality of your hugs.
The quality of your hugs.
And
your ability to attract
really
a huggy.
But because let me tell you, touch, without touch, young ones will die, you know, with minimal touch. And because of what I do, when I touch communicates you, communicates the energy that you generate, how you are at that moment. It's like a holographic communication that goes right to the deepest, earliest parts of the brain. So developing consciousness of feeling and touch, in the feeling of touch, let's put it this way. And that's why I call it seeing hands, because most people are very visual and they're used to watching TV and seeing things and so on, but they touch unconsciously. And I sometimes watch, even just like in this place, public place, how parents hold the hand of their kid and drag them along or change their diapers. And that child's brain learns who they are, what to think about themselves from the quality of the touch of the adult.
The quality of the touch. That's brilliant. Hey, listen, Annette, I'm so sorry that we've run out of time. We need to, before we let you go, we need to talk about where folks can get to your material. It is www.AnnetteBanalMethod, right, .com?
How about we spell it? Yes, you almost pronounced it correctly. We need to give you a few perceptions of differences in the Hebrew language.
Yeah, I'm going to have to work on that. That will do next time.
So it's AnnetteBanielMethod, AnnetteBanielMethod.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much for spending
or
time with us.
You can find it on our website at Cutting Edge Consciousness. And we will,
that I know how to pronounce.
We will spell that for you during the break.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Annette,
it's wonderful to
have you with us.
Thank you so much. And we're doing a big mailer today, so we're going to send it to everybody, because I love talking with you guys. And I hope to have more opportunities, because you're a lot of fun.
We're going to do it more often. And for those of you listening, stay tuned, because we'll be right back here on Cutting Edge Consciousness.
Welcome back to Cutting Edge Consciousness, thought-provoking discussions and bold ideas from the edge of possibility.
And welcome back to Cutting Edge Consciousness. Freeman Michaels here with my co-host, Barnett Bain.
There was so much to think about in that conversation with Annette. I love when she started to unpack the seeing and the quality of the intent that underlies touch. And she was making these distinctions about touch. Now, of course, you as an actor very well understand the intentions behind an action, be it, whether it's touch or any other action. Mm. We understand as as actors, that the that a performance is grounded by the emotional experience that is goes unsaid in the word, but out of which all of the meaning is generated. So no actor grabs the hand of another actor but without making it a big freaking deal.
Yeah.
Emotionally. When they do it well, it's wonderful. When they do it bad, it's bad acting. Yeah. But in the world of Anat, she refers to a number of modalities of touch. Gentle touch, attentive, feeling and being present. Safe touch, touching and holding another with full support. Connected touch, like you and another are one. A loving touch, being responding and respecting of another. And a seeing touch, seeing as, and this is one that I love, it's as though you had eyes in your finger, in the tips of your fingers.
It's beautiful.
This is so aligned to stuff that you and I talk about here all the time.
I'm bubbling over. I've got more to say than I could ever get out.
Go ahead, jump in.
No, just that what we're talking about, that the touch or the choice, because you brought up the acting. We are talking in acting all the time about a choice, that you're activating the intention by making a choice, and the choice is something that in this case it's a physicalizing. It's an expression that has movement in it. And I love what she said about movement being the language of the brain, and that movement is what generates differences. And the brain recognizes differences. In fact, early on in the conversation, she was talking about that the brain fires that the whole organizing function of movement. What it does with the brain is it fires the brain off in a very what's
specific
the word?
Neuronal.
Yeah, but there was a lot going on.
I want to throw out in real time an insight that I'm gaining through this conversation. That is that the brain may, and I suspect this is a strong may operate at the level of subtext. And certainly our moviegoers operate at the level of subtext. What makes a movie powerful is not what is said between the characters, it's what goes on between them unsaid. And I suspect that that is true in life. And so the brain wires and fires more powerfully in relation to what is unsaid and what is driven by the subtext or the intent. So when you touch another with seeing hands, with eyes in your fingertips, with an intention to respect and to honor and to give safety and to give security, to give pleasure and when and where and how it's appropriate, the brain of that other individual is wiring neuronal nets that are appropriate to the intentions that you're sending someone. So I'm not sure what we will make of this, but it's a lot there, and we'll spin it out over the next few weeks.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I think in this moment there's something to say about that. So, look, I spoke earlier about the frequencies and that we're transmitting frequency and we're receiving them all the time.
Only frequencies, only resonance.
So, look, we believe that everything going on in our lives is an expression on some level of some aspect of our experience, that everything is being expressed, everything is energetic. And
everything's a downstep from the raw frequencies.
And what I loved about what she said when she was talking about the intelligence, that she's reading into the intelligence of doing something different as opposed to doing something the correct way, that that's really intelligent and creative. And we all know that most of the great breakthroughs were accidents, right? All of the, whether it's in science or it's in, you know, any discipline, that someone comes along and breaks the rules is when we have a breakthrough, and that it's very creative and intelligent to do something differently. But I love the idea of reading the intelligence. We've talked on the show about reading subtle energy and reading that when something is a pattern, you know, in my work with weight release, it's habituated patterns around eating or whatever. That is an expression of something.
And that's an expression.
It's an expression of subtext.
Of it, exactly.
You're going to say that. I jumped ahead of you. Sorry.
No,
go ahead,
it's an expression of subtext. No, you're absolutely right. That's exactly
right. Pattern behavior, habits are expressions of subtext.
So when we put these things together, what we're saying, what this show has been saying from day one, and looping around and looking for new language to take it deeper and deeper, is that we are consciously exploring our subconscious now. And we are beginning to pump out all of the stuff that has sat on top of the reservoir of the subconscious, so that the subtext of things is it is no longer a stretch to discover it and to discern it. We are more elegantly, more quickly relating to our experience directly with X-rays of eyes, seeing right down to the subtexts of things.
And what that equips us to do, and what that equips us to do, is get to the edge of possibility.
Yes.
Where we can bring on these new capacities, new in the sense that we're discovering them in new ways and so forth and so on. As she put, they might have been potentialities, things that we had some level of.
They are and they aren't.
I know.
Potentiality, I think that you're talking about, is the potentiality to go below the surfaces of things and to become relational with the subtext and to live in the subtext. Once upon a time, that was unavailable to us. You had to go to all kinds of practices in order to discover even that there's such a thing as your subconscious, and it was scary. When we get to that place, as the song goes, life is but a dream. And when you get to that place where the rules go out the window.
And we can discover things in ways and open up to things
that have never
that
been before.
Before then were not possible. Because we didn't have the capacity. We didn't, as you said, have the bandwidth for those kinds of frequency. Didn't have the bandwidth. And I love the idea of you know, the great motto of Steve Jobs of Apple was think different. And I love that she said with my hug different. That's your only direction to me, by the way. Just hug different. You know, I tried to loop it into, I'm going to crunch this down to hugging as a conscious expression and a conscious exploration.
Steve Jobs motto with a paraphrase of the Gandhi one, which is a be different.
Right.
And we put the two of them together. It involves an entirely different kind of human being.
Think and be different.
That means you're systemically new, recreated.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. It's magical. I'm marveling at something. Because
that's like pirate different. R different. R different.
I love, you know, one of the things that we've talked about, it's more than talked about. The last year and a half of this show.
So one of the things we've drank about?
We've done it every different way. We've danced about it. We've hugged about it. We've found so many different expressions, you know, because you and I hang out in real time in life off of the show.
A lot of dancing, a lot of hugging is what we
And there will be more.
That paints a picture. Be hearing from our wives on that.
Yeah, there's some pirates dancing. But I love the way we've woven together all these people from all these different, from business to science to medicine to everything, singers and everything.
We're having someone on in a few weeks from Animal Control.
We need that.
We need the whole
thing. Someone put on our website, we should have Cesar Millan on. I think we should, to do talk about the horse petting. Because he said, wow, horse petting, what about Cesar Millan? Talk about dogs. And that guy relates to dogs energetically. The dog whisperer guy, yeah, he relates to dogs energetically and has a tremendous impact. And it's not what you say, it's what energy you hold, and dogs read you. If you're saying something out of your mouth but you're not resonating with it, the dog's going to bite you. It's not going to believe it, which, of course, is illustrated in the horse petting show we did. But just the idea that it all weaves together to take us to the edge of possibility, which is the intro to the show.
And I think with that, we're at the outro to the show, are we not?
We're very close to the outro of the show, but not quite.
But not quite.
Right.
So let's just,
that's why you have to leave me in charge of the outro.
That's why I cannot see the clock from here, but I thought I saw it reflect. We have 10 minutes.
No. Barnett, I got it.
What do we have? We have 4 minutes.
Yeah. Or five.
Five minutes. See? I thought you could sing for the last 5 minutes.
When you randomly decide to wind down. I'm holding the clock. We decided that a long time ago. But I says, I'm going to end the show right now.
I was pretty sure it was. You looked like it was a settling in thing. I saw you getting your coat on.
I've had my coat on because we have the meat locker temperature in here, which we always like because of the equipment. All right, let me then bring us back to something I thought was important. You ready?
Yeah. Anytime. Bring it.
Imagine doing something different. Imagine just doing something different. Just imagine that you could do something different. The courage that it takes. I love the intro to Star Wars, bravely going where no man has gone before.
Or woman.
I meant Star Trek. That's what I was trying to say.
Okay, millions of fans right now are sending hate mail.
Trek is tuning us off right now. I didn't mean that.
That's not a small infraction.
I know. But the imagine doing it different. And imagine something is possible. And how many people who have stepped into something miraculous because enough of them was able to suspend disbelief, as we've said on the show, and imagine something possible. And that is what Annette represents to me.
Well, imagination is a highly dynamic, highly active being doing. It's not being and doing. It's not being or doing. It is a synergy of something greater than the sum of the parts. It's being doing.
And it's a capacity, just like these other capacities.
It is the capacity that holds everything else.
Yep.
Everything.
Totally agree with that.
Everything that in existence, that we perceive in existence, is held in something that we call a pretend.
And we go back to every breakthrough. Some crazy fool was willing to imagine that something was possible. Next thing you know, speaking of Star Trek, those little communicators and phasers
the
and
holodeck.
And the holodeck, all of which was fantasy back then, is reality today. In fact, the communicators that we have blow those communicators away. The little thing that you flip up, I had one of those flip phones 5 years ago. Now we've got something. Thank you, Mr. Jobs. To bring it back to our Think Different guy, who said, wait a minute, what if this thing, what if? Imagine the possibilities. What would it look like? And that, of course, is the offer, the generous offer that comes from what Annette is offering. And we hope that comes from this show. And with that, we have run out of time. But we are glad that you took the time today to listen to the show. And if you enjoyed it, we ask that you pass it on to friends. And we invite you to keep coming back, too. Cutting Edge Consciousness.
Thank you.